Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Have we faced something so crazy as we have in the last 24 hours that phrase, lean into Jesus, we don't even need to define it anymore. We know exactly what it means. That I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to lean in to Jesus. Why do we lean in? Because he is still speaking in that still small voice. The five things to help us with tuning out the noise. Number one, we must focus our hearing. Focus means a concentrated and or a sustained concentration, meaning that it is not going to work just on Sundays, but you're going to need some peace and joy on Monday and Tuesday. And you're going to need some strength and power on Thursday. And you're going to need some anointing on Friday. And so we want to sustain concentration on the voice of God so that we know what we have and what God is saying. The enemies of your focus are distraction, a lack of discipline, and delays. You may be delayed, but you are not denied. Our number two objective to tuning out the noise is discovering there is a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is the ability for the ear to receive sound. It is literally the vibration inside your ear that causes you to hear what is happening around you. But to listen means to give attention with the ear for the purpose of understanding. See, the reason we are here tonight is to understand the Word of God, to understand the presence of God. And it doesn't matter if you've been living for God for 40 days or 40 years. If you are on this earth and you are in this room tonight or watching online, can I encourage you, there is more to Jesus than you know. There is more to Jesus than I know. You can take the Pope, you could have taken Mother Teresa, you could take the greatest preacher of our age, and I am here to tell you none of them have arrived. Why? Because Jesus is so great, he is so complex that there is always another layer to Jesus. And so the reason we're here is to not hear a sermon, it is to listen to God. Why? Because we are tuning our ear to understand who he is. John 12, verse 26 is where, right before I left off last session. I love this. It is an account where Jesus is surrounded by people, and listen to what happens. Jesus says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am. And you know, that was a difficult saying when he said it. And when he was talking about it, he was talking about twofold. You must physically follow me. Remember, he told his 12 disciples, follow me, and they literally left their families, left their jobs to follow Jesus for 3.5 years. But he is also talking about, once I am ascended into heaven, you're still going to follow me. Well, what does that mean for us? Because in 2022, you don't see a physical Jesus. So it means the only way that we can follow him is we don't see him, we hear him. So if your ear is not finely tuned to what God is saying and what God is speaking, then we're never going to know his direction. And if we don't know his direction because we can't see him, we can only hear him, we will not know where or how to follow him. Verse 26, my Father will honor the one who serves me. Verse 27, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Can I encourage somebody that God not only speaks, but a lot of times he speaks a second time. I will glorify it. I will glorify it again. I will heal it. I will heal it again. I have delivered it. I will deliver it again. But listen, after the voice from heaven, which is that's a great day. That's a red letter day. You hear the voice of God. Jesus is standing in front of you. You hear the voice of God. But the Bible says in verse 29, the crowd that was there and heard it said it thundered. They could not decipher the between the Lord's voice and a thunderous sound. Could it be that God is not speaking to you, but could it be that you're listening for something in a way that God is not speaking? Because I'm here to tell you, God speaks through His Word. God speaks through His Spirit. God speaks through commercials to me. I'll be sitting in the movie theater and God drops revelation through the movie. Why is it that you think He can only speak, "Thou son, I am well pleased"? God don't talk to you like that. You've got to be looking. You've got to be listening. God, what are you saying? Are you in this? Are you on this? Are you speaking through this? Some said it's thundering. Others said an angel had spoken to Jesus. Jesus said this: "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. And you missed it. Because now you're talking about," check this out, "how it sounded, not what he said." A lot of us have fallen in love with how it sounds, not what was said. Oh, I've been here long enough at Living Way, and I've traveled to a lot of churches that they complain about the style of worship or the style of preaching. You are too concerned with what it sounds like and not what is being said. When this worship team was up here today and they started singing "Nothing Else" and "If God Is Not In It, I Don't Want It," those are things that should be an everyday part of our life. And you say, "Well, I wish the Hammond B3 was thumping tonight. Well, I wish they'd play this song." I don't care how it sounds. I just want to know that what it's saying is getting me closer to God, is opening the throne room, is causing God's Spirit to settle down. Can I encourage you in this room tonight, church? Quit listening for a certain sound and tie into what God is saying. I don't care how it sounds. I'm listening to what He's saying. Sometimes God uses your enemies to speak to you. But because you don't like them, you overlook Him. Because you don't like them, you overlook Him. I want to encourage people in this room today that God is going to speak first and foremost through the 66 canon books of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. God's Spirit is going to speak to you, but I am here to tell you that God will use and speak through anything. In the Old Testament, He spoke through a donkey, and He still uses donkeys today. It might be a donkey you work with. It might be a donkey that has the same last name as you. It might be a donkey that's holding the microphone right now, but if He did it then, He's doing it now. I don't care the vessel. I just want to hear the voice. I don't care how it sounds and where it comes from. I just want the word. Said this voice was not for my benefit. It was for yours. And you missed it. And you're arguing over whether it was an angel or whether it was thunder. Our number three objective to tune out the noise is the power of the mute button. How many of you love that mute button? Y'all remember that movie Click with Adam Sandler where he could control things? I wish we had that ability in the physical, because it's a whole lot harder to control people's mouths without a real mute button. And the power that they have when they speak things over you, speak things into you. But I'm gonna take a right turn here real quick, because I'm sure a lot of you, when I set this up talking about the mute button, you said, "Oh, there's a lot of people I would like to mute," and I'm right with you. But can I tell you that the person that needs to shut up the most is you and me? The most damning things that are said about Brandon are not from haters or lovers. The most critical things that are said about me and God's vision for my life and God's plan for my life and what He created me to do comes from me. So a lot of times I'm trying to mute them and God is saying they're not your biggest problem. Because guess what? When I go home and I shut the door, they're not there. I was thinking about this week, and I get this honestly from Bishop. I spend most of my time by myself. Oh, I've been happily married for 19 years. I've got two kids. But listen, I spend a lot of time alone in my office. I spend a lot of time alone on the road, a lot of time alone in my truck, a lot of time alone at the barn. And so there's a lot of times where I can't blame anybody else, Chris, because it's just me in the truck. Come on now. It's just me in my office. When I am hearing God and then I'm hearing what the world says. When God is whispering but the adversary is yelling. When I'm too critical and the condemning voice, it overrides the convicting voice. The power of the mute button is not just for other people. And we should have learned a long time ago, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never. We learned that in nursery school. But it's not their words that need to be muted all the time. It's my words to me. It's your words to you. You say, can you prove that in scripture? I'm glad you asked. Luke chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This is where Zechariah asks the angel, how can you be sure of this? This is where the angel comes to old Zechariah with old Elizabeth as his wife and says, hey, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be John the Baptist. He's going to be great. He's going to be the precursor to the Messiah. He is going to preach hellfire and brimstone. He's going to be a baptizer. He's going to be a wild man. He's going to be the predecessor and the preparer of the way for the greatest man, for God himself to show up. And Zechariah said, how can you be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this is good news. He doubted the message, not necessarily because of his doubt in his relationship with God, but who God sent to tell him the message. How many times have we missed a miracle because we didn't like God's messenger? How many times did God send us the answer and we ignored them because we didn't like them? We weren't expecting it from them. They've never said anything good. Well, this was the time you should have listened. He said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent. You will be silent and not able to speak until this day. Until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Can I break it down for you real quick, church? You say, why didn't Gabriel say, you know what? Forget you. He could not forget Zechariah because John the Baptist had to be born to prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come. John the Baptist was going to be the one that baptized Jesus. He was going to be the one that literally unleashed the ministry. And so I'm here to tell you this. Sometimes God has to mute us and tell us to be quiet. Why? Because what we're carrying is going to change the world. What we're carrying is going to bring revival. What you're carrying is going to bring transformation. And he can't allow our loose lips for 9 months to say, I don't think it's going to happen. Why did he choose me? Look at Elizabeth. Are you sure you're pregnant? Are you sure that God's going? He could not take that risk. And so he said, mute. Can I encourage some of us in this room today that God might not mute you, but you need to mute yourself. And until you hold your baby, shut your mouth. Until you hold your miracle, shut your mouth. Why? Because God has promised, and sometimes your voice overrides his voice. I have a habit of talking over people, believe it or not. Sitting around the table with my family, they'll be in mid-story, and my mind's already moved on to the next topic, and I just start talking, and they just look at me. Tyler's like Mandy, Mandy's like Tyler, and so they just look at me. Jane's like me. Jane will speak up and say, you know what, whatever, I'm done. I'm done talking. I'm done. And then I got to win her back. I'm sorry, go ahead and finish. No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to finish my story. Well, we want to know. No, you don't. You talk to some of us. When we pray, we talk over God. and we're missing vital information for the progress and the process to what God has called us to do and who God has created us to be. Can I encourage you and remind you that prayer is not a monologue? You are not Johnny Carson, Jay Leno, or Jimmy Fallon. It is a dialogue. You talk, then God talks. Then you talk, then God talks. And when God is talking, you better have your pen and paper ready. You better have notes open on your phone. Why? Because God is about to drop some revelation that is going to change you or transform your situation. So if you ever hold up the remote with a mute button, make sure you're looking in the mirror, because we've got to shut down and quiet our own voice. Sometimes our miracle depends on how fast and how long we can shut up. It only worked a couple times in our family, but remember when your kids would talk nonstop and they were really annoying? And on those long road trips, all right, guys, we're going to play the quiet game. You had to save that one. Young parents, you can only use that one once or twice. They catch on. But some of us need to quiet down. Shut your mouth quick. Shut it long. Why? Because God is speaking. If you ever say, I'm having trouble hearing God, silence. Your silence can be golden for God to be able to speak in such a way that you hear him. We must limit the noise in our lives. And to do that, we must limit the noise makers in our lives. There's a lot of people that are saying a lot of words, but it's just noise. It's just chirping and chattering, and it is robbing us from the still small voice. What does that look like? To limit the noisemakers means that you have to be okay not going to the house party this weekend. You have to be okay skipping dinner when certain people are going to be there. You have to be okay walking away from conversations right in the middle. Well, I don't want to be rude. I'd rather you be a little rude and keep your righteousness than stay there and have your dream trashed and to have your faith stolen. Let me say this again. I'd rather you be a little rude but keep your righteousness than have your dream trashed and what God has called you to do stolen and have your faith diminished. You don't got to give them a piece of your mind. Just excuse yourself and walk away. The same thing you do when they start talking about your mama, your sports team, or whatever else they're doing. You get mad and you leave. Do the same thing. Just excuse yourself. It means that we must become very liberal with the unfollow, unfriend, and block button on social media. Remember, the rights to your life is a privilege. Access to your life is a privilege, not a right. Just because they're on Facebook and you're on Facebook doesn't mean you're friends. What are you doing? You're guarding God's voice in your life. Our number four objective to tune out the noise is the power of selective hearing. The power of selective hearing. One of the greatest verses that comes to mind when I talk about selective hearing, and we laugh about it when we have kids because our kids have very, very much have selective hearing. They hear what they want to hear. And there is a portion of scripture that Bishop has used for years, and I searched it out these last few weeks. And what I found is that this exact scripture is used twice in the Word of God. Once it is a question, and the next time it's used, it's a statement. Job chapter 12, verse 11, and most of us know the story of Job. Job's children are killed. Everything that he has, he was a very rich man, was taken from him. Boils are all over his body. I mean, everything in his life. His three best friends are now condemning him. His wife has turned her back on him and is encouraging him to turn his back on God. Job is having a bad year. You thought 2020 was bad. Job was having a bad year. So Job asked the question in verse 11 of chapter 12, does not the ear test words as the tongue tastes food? Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? Job is asking the question, why don't we try words like our mouth tries food? My grandfather who passed away 19 years ago, was the king. Tyler, you can go ahead and come up with the praise team. Was the king of trying to force feed you food that he liked. And I remember he'd get a bunch of steamed cabbage on the end of that fork. Brandon, you like cabbage? No, you want cabbage? No, sir, I don't. You ever had cabbage? Yes, sir, I have. You ever had your grandma's cabbage? No, sir, I haven't. Well, you got to try her cabbage to really make a decision. What he thought is because it tasted good to him, that everybody's taste buds were the same. So Job, in the middle of everything falling apart, says, why don't we try words like our mouth tries taste and meat? Fast forward 22 chapters, Job 34, verses 3 and 4. A man named Elihu, which was not one of Job's three friends. It is the voice of reason. It is a man that God has sent to speak into Job's life. However, he says this, and it's not a question, it's a statement. For the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. Let us discern for ourselves what is right, and let us learn together what is good. 22 chapters later, Job's question is answered. When we talk about selective hearing, this is where what it boils down to. Just because it tastes good or sounds good to someone else doesn't mean it sounds good to me. Jumping out of an airplane might seem fun and sound like fun and a good time to you. That is a terrifying thing to me. That is why I will pay handsomely for a ticket on Delta to get to my destination, because I don't want to fall out or jump out of a plane. So here's the thing. If you eat something you don't like, what do you say? I'll never eat that again. So why don't we do the same thing with words? When we hear something from the adversary we don't like, say, that doesn't taste good. I remember the last time I ate that, it did this in my marriage. I remember the last time I had a fork full of that, it set my kids back 3 years. I remember the last time that I consumed a little bit of that, it messed up my ministry. And so I'm not going to do that anymore. However, can we flip the script? And I'm going to close with this. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I remember the first time Bishop and Pastor Becky took me to Luby's on Walsham Road, and I had me a piece of coconut cream pie with meringue that tall. I like coconut cream pie. I love meringue. I remember when I was a sophomore in high school and found out that all you had to do to get meringue was whip eggs and sugar together, and it created. My life changed. Every time I've been to Luby's since, I get a slice. Why? Because it's good. So can I encourage you and ask you this simple question tonight as we get ready to open these altars for those of you online and in the room? You've tasted and seen that God is good. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night. That's why you're watching on a Wednesday night. So can I ask you this question? Why did you stop eating? Why did you stop listening? If it was good 10 years ago, it'll be really good now. If it worked 3 days ago, it's going to work again today. If it worked last Sunday, it'll work on Wednesday. If it worked to get you through that storm, it's going to work to get you through this storm. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I've got selective hearing today. And as Manuel has broken the ice for everyone in the room, stand on your feet. I want all believers to close your eyes, and I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about the voice of God. Has it been a few days since you've heard God's voice? Has it been a few months? Maybe, I hope it hasn't, but maybe it's been a couple years since you've heard the voice of God. Can I tell you that his voice is still good? He's still God. It's still going to do your soul and spirit so good when you hear that voice of God and your ear tries those words, like your mouth tastes meat. God, I pray that you would speak again. God, I pray that you would continue to speak. God, I pray that we would hear you. God, I pray that we would not turn a deaf ear. God, I pray that our ears would hear you as the Spirit talks to the church. God, I want to hear you. Try those words tonight. Try those words. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Try that on for size. Taste that tonight. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Taste some of that truth tonight. It's good. In him I live, move, and have my being. Taste some of that word. It's going to transform your life. I want to open this altar up for anybody else. We're almost done, but we're not going to rush this moment, but we're almost done. If you're in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, this is your call. This is your moment. I was so glad. I should have had it up where I could read it. Sunday in both of our services, nine baptisms, 5 salvations, people being filled with the Holy Ghost all on a Sunday, not an Easter Sunday, not a Pentecost Sunday. That's just a normal Sunday in May. People are saying, God, I hear you. God, what I'm tasting is good. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment.